flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
You guys don't like this song?
I like our songs.
Devin, no, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I like our song.
We let this kid take over, and he just becomes his own DJ.
Why? Because that's the most important thing is playing your own favorite songs.
So we can tweet out at the end of the week.
Yep, everybody's returns. Watching. Yeah. Everybody's watching. Oh, what songs did he play for 8 seconds on the radio that the host didn't want to hear? The Twitter question is, congratulations, woo, you won that one. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Valentine's Day is coming. Fran hates me so much. If you're thinking about getting engaged, shop the home team at Mark's, your engagement destination, online at marks-jewelers.com. I'm going to read, the second one is what I want your response on, but I want to read the other ones. The first one, do you want the Eagles to build a dome? 71% say no. But the yes is higher than I thought, 29%.
Yeah, by the time that could be 80%.
Yes. Yeah.
They'll all change their mind.
Now, the rumor is, now Kellen Moore is going to the Saints. We all pretty much know. The rumor is that Kevin Petullo is the front runner, the pass game coordinator, to get the offensive coordinator position. We asked the question, do you want the Eagles to go outside the organization, which I did, for offensive coordinator? Now, outside the org got 76% of the vote. First of all, what do you know about Kevin Petullo? Mm-hmm. But the second thing is, what is your opinion on inside, outside?
So Kevin Petullo is kind of Sirianni's right-hand man.
Yep.
Like, he brought, when they hired the staff as a team, obviously Howie had a lot of input in that. Like, Kevin was Nick's guy. So, he's right there with them. Like, I don't believe he's ever called plays before, but he's very involved in how the offense is built. He's been here the whole time. So that's kind of Kevin Petullo. Like, he's a behind-the-scenes guy. He doesn't really talk to the media. I would not promote Kevin Petullo. I would not. I would definitely fall on the side of I would hire from outside the organization. I think one of the main reasons it fell apart after 2017 was they just kept promoting from within. They did that on the offensive side of the ball. And then even then when they brought in Rich Gangarello from the Niners, he wasn't really in an important enough role to make a difference. I think two things. One, it always helps to get a fresh set of eyes on things. Even if what you're doing now is working, the league will adjust to you, and I just think it benefits you to have another set of eyes. But I also think, like, one of Nick's strengths since his time that he's been here is he is not a power-hungry guy. And I think bringing in someone, like when they brought in Kellen Moore, I think it really helped the team to have a fresh set of eyes on the offense. I don't think they made massive changes to the offense, but the changes that they did make, I think happened because a fresh set of eyes came in. So I think getting a fresh set of eyes, even if it's not broken, there's just a chance to do that, I think is beneficial.
For me, I want to know all of what Jalen Hurts is capable of. And the passing game has taken steps back. And I know there's more there, right? Like, they've succeeded with him like this. But to your point, I think if they're going to succeed moving forward, they need to pass the ball more.
So,
and I just think,
I don't know if you necessarily need to do that.
Yeah, and I also think that while I agree, if they could,
you're not always going to have Saquon Barkley, by the way.
Right, and I get your point that if they started being an offense where Jalen threw it 30 times,
27 to 30
for like 10 straight weeks, I'd be curious to see what the results would be. But I think they came in this season wanting to throw.
Yes.
So I don't think it matters who the coordinator is unless you think that person's going to.
Well, here's where we are. Here's where, for me, I split in the road with you guys. You can throw the ball 27 to 30 times a game just like they do now. I would imagine. Now, there were those games in there where it was around 20 to 22 dropbacks. But I think sometimes the end numbers aren't really the indication of what they did going into the game. You've even brought this up about the passing attempts.
That they call 32 dropbacks,
exactly right.
But he throws it 22 times.
So why wouldn't I continue on that path and allow him to get better at what he's already been doing? I think in a sort of from a premise standpoint, I think it's a sound strategy. You want to get somebody in here, all that stuff. But for this particular player and what works for him, and that's what matters. Mm-hmm. It's what works for him and how is he at his best. And he's already been on record talking about consistency and how much he wants consistency. Mm-hmm. So if you at least keep him in the same offense or some variation of it, maybe he develops even more from that versus bringing in another new system. That coordinator has to figure out what Jalen's good at, what he's not good at, what can I run in my offense versus what I can't run in my offense. Like, we run the risk of happening what happened this year. And what essentially happened this year was he couldn't run the offense that Kellen Moore wanted him to run, and they had to change the offense.
So I would agree.
So who's
with
to
you.
Say that won't happen with the next coach that comes in?
So I agree with you on that in terms of keeping consistency. I guess I don't view hiring a new coordinator as bringing in a new system. I view hiring a new coordinator from outside the building as someone that can come in and help them, like, any problems they think they could solve, and just having a fresh set of eyes.
Well, if you're not bringing in a new system, what's the point?
Well, how much control does Sirianni have over the offense, I think, is the other question. Like, is it Sirianni's offense or is it not?
Well, him and Jalen are obviously very involved. Like, Jalen audibles all the time. He helps pick what plays are in the game plan for that week. So,
well, what I want is, and I don't even know if this is possible, I know that when – you're going to laugh at me because of the name I'm bringing up. But I know when Daniel Jones got released, he wanted to go somewhere where he sees an offensive guy, and in that case it's the head coach, it's Kevin O'Connell, and it's Josh McCown, but where he can go and somebody can tell me, unlock what I have, make me better. I want an offensive coordinator that is going to look at Jalen and be able to communicate with him on a level that he can see all right, we're calling 31 dropbacks. Why is he eating the ball and sacking it? Why? How can I get into his head and say, maybe don't eat the ball on that one? You know, do this, do that. Now, and I'm not talking about throwing it 35 times or 40 times. I'm talking about the same number of dropbacks but not have so many negative plays. So, and I think
why can't Petula do that?
See, but to me, that's more of a coaching thing than a scheme thing.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But I'm talking about bringing in a coach.
Right, but when I think of bringing in a coordinator, I think you're talking about a scheme.
Yes.
You're more talking about, like, a teacher, I guess.
Well, it's both.
Yeah,
it's both, right?
So I don't have a desire to change a scheme.
And
I'm fine with how they do it now.
And I also think the best coordinators, the best coaches, which is why I'm not – the consistency thing, I'm worried about less, and here's why. Because I think the best guys are going to eventually get poached. But you can learn from those best guys in the year or two that you have them. And I want somebody who's going to come in here and say, and the best guys too, they have the scheme that they prefer, but also look at their players and go, I can't do that with this guy, but I got this answer for that, you know?
So I
just think there's somebody out there, and maybe it's Kevin Petullo, I don't know, but maybe there's somebody out there that can look at him and work with Jalen Hurts and say, there is more here. Because I do believe there's more there than what we saw this year.
So I think also what will happen is, as Jalen enters what will be, his sixth year at this point?
Yep.
I mean, he'll start to become also more of the quote-unquote coordinator. Like, the more he has control, like, just the more he's played, the more he's seen, the more he knows what he likes. So there will be a point here where, I mean, Jalen is already this to an extent, but Jalen will have the biggest influence over what play is actually ran. Now, to your point about finding somebody that can make it so if they call 32 runs, the ball is thrown 27 times instead of whatever.
Yeah.
20.
Yep.
I think we're talking about different jobs here. I don't view hiring, like, promoting Kevin Petullo as either helping or hurting that. Like, I think the new coordinator.
I think it helps.
You think promoting Kevin Petullo helps Jalen?
Yeah. I think so.
Well, I think whoever...
I think consistency helps him.
But I
think you're minimizing that job.
That's why it's called consistency.
No, I know, but whatever problems we perceive Jalen to have, the people in the building...
The problem is maybe it was his first year in this offense.
Yeah, that
so
could be...
So why not give him another year in the offense? The evidence shows when he's had 2 years to be in the offense, he played at an MVP level.
Yeah, I would not make major changes to the offense.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
So I'm saying, so Kellen Moore leaves, they have to hire somebody.
Yeah.
I just think the benefit of having that open position is Kevin Petullo is already in the building. So right. I would use that position as a chance to poach a young offensive mind you could bring in to learn from.
Why? First of all, you think Kevin Petullo doesn't want to be an offensive play caller? So now you bring somebody else in from outside the building. What type of loyalty are you showing to your guys that are there now? That's why these guys get these jobs. They get promoted from within by showing loyalty by staying with the head coach.
Right.
And they've been teaching the offense. They know the players. They know the culture of the building versus someone else coming in, and that person has to learn all the personnel on the offense. Mm-hmm. Does he get along with Nick Sirianni? Right? Mm-hmm. You know, Kellen Moore was the right person to hire because I believe Kellen Moore is more of a he's a guy who is not looking to be out front. He doesn't mind not – he doesn't have an ego is what I'm really trying to
say.
Right. So, now, who are you bringing in? What's the kid from Houston? Slowick?
Slowick, yep.
We bring one of these guys in?
I would be interested in having Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, why? He just had C.J. Stroud, and they fired him.
So – I don't know if Kevin Petullo has desires to be a coordinator. But you're right. These guys
hold on.
Well, of course. Why wouldn't he?
They do.
No, they do. You're right.
So the point is if the report is true that they planned on hiring from within, they obviously know he's the guy.
So, yeah, and I think that would be a mistake because I think with an open position, you have a chance to bring someone else from outside the building that can help. And the last two times they've promoted from within, it was Brian Johnson. Mm-hmm. That didn't work out. And it was Mike Groh. That didn't work out. I think when you promote from within, it's easier to stay stale in that instance, whereas when you bring in fresh ideas, maybe it's not a 50% overhaul of the offense. Maybe it's 20%. And, yeah, that's hard to learn, but ultimately the 20%, I think, keeps you fresh and keeps you evolving, whereas when you just promote from the guys that are within the building, I think it's harder to come up with new ideas. And I think you need new ideas, especially when you're the top dog, to continue to get better.
215-592-9494. Now, we are in New Orleans, and Booz is in New Orleans. And Ike, you...
Oh, you said Booz is in New Orleans.
Booz is in New Orleans. B-O-O-Z-E, not B-O-O-S.
Yeah, I was going to say, is anybody booing around here?
Nah.
Hey, not yet. But listen, Birds fans, listen, I'm bringing you Game Day Essentials to get you ready for Sunday. Championship Sunday, or some people like to refer to it as Super Bowl Sunday. That's
no.
Right, Super Bowl 59.
Dump.
We're not allowed to use that.
Dump.
It's in one of my reads. All Surfside right. Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka. The absolute, both are absolutely delicious and available in the convenient variety pack. Each can of Surfside is only 100 calories, and the best part, no bubbles, no troubles, zero carbonation. A great watch party starts with what's in the fridge. So make sure you stock it up right. Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, the official cocktail of Philly sports. Ask for it at your local bars, liquor store, and grocery stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Costos is out of control over here, by the way.
I'm hearing him yell in my background.
This is how everyone else felt around 5:30 Creed.
I was going to say, since the guys that at 5:30 are going to scream Creed out loud.
Do you think Brady or Rose ready for 5:30 Creed today?
Well, what's funny is the more crowded it gets, like more people have not experienced it.
Yes.
If you're around the same people every day.
Yeah.
You know.
And the other big issue is that, no, it's Radio Row. It's more Media Row, all these other fake media companies.
Yeah.
They don't know how to make good content.
True.
So they're confused when we do something like 5:30 Creed.
When you guys do something interesting and different.
Yes.
But now, for what it's worth, nobody cared. Nobody complained.
People loved it.
Yeah.
I think it's a good story,
just
too, for
started.
People.
It will change.
215-592-9494. Al in Philly, you're on WIP.
It's actually Al from Uptown. But
Al from Uptown.
All right.
Yeah, that's still Philly, though. All right. One, you guys are talking this new offensive coordinator thing. I think if Kellen Moore leaves, he's a fool. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on with New Orleans. And I don't know if he wants to be tied to that with the cap hell that they'll be in.
So I just think I get your point. I don't think it's a good job at all. I don't think it's a good opportunity. But he's been passed over so many times for coaching jobs at this point. I don't blame him for just jumping at one.
Yeah, but that's still a poor idea because he could come back, coach the Eagles to another Super Bowl, and then have his pick of a litter. I would bring Frank Wright in here. I don't know how anybody feels about that.
Well, now, that's going to be
go
the
get
guy.
Frank Wright. Go okay. get Frank Wright. If you're going to lose Kellen Moore, give me Frank Wright. He's the quarterback whisperer. He's been a part of two poor organizations leaving the Eagles. And in my opinion, he should have never walked out the building in the first place.
Well, that's another element of this we didn't talk about is I don't believe Kevin Petullo has ever called plays. Brian Johnson had never – I don't think he had ever called plays at the NFL level.
Nick Sirianni can't call plays.
No. Well, Shane Steichen called plays.
Well, I'm saying, so the new coordinator is going to have to call plays. So if you promote Kevin Petullo and he's never done that, Frank Reich has called plays.
What I'm saying is the first time somebody called plays,
right.
You know what their previous record was, right? they never called plays before.
No, I know, but I'm saying.
So, no, my point is at some point you give a guy a chance.
For sure, for sure. But I think, and maybe it's just a one-year sample, so it shouldn't be the overarching lesson, but I think Nick does better with experienced coordinators.
Oh, listen, we're talking Frank Wright. Come on now.
That's what I'm saying, Frank over Kevin Patullo.
Yes.
I don't think Frank's bringing
Frank
in.
Wright,
Frank's
yes.
not bringing in some, like, new age ideas, but he has called plays.
I would take Frank Wright, too. I
Frank Wright
so
all
weird.
Day long. Bring me Frank Wright.
Right.
King of Philly. Okay. Yeah. Secondly, the dome thing is stupid to me. But would I accept a retractable roof so we can still let snow fall on people's heads? Let's go.
Yes.
Let's go. Give me the retractable roof. Yes, get them into thinking they're coming into a clean environment.
And then back snow.
Yes. Yeah. I really hope Larry is not bullied into a retractable roof. There's no shot they want to put a retractable roof. The only reason they would put it is because they're worried about fan backlash.
Well, if they do the retractable roof, they can still do that.
We're the ones that buy the tickets.
First of all, I've been to stadiums with retractable roofs. They're tiny and they're never open. So, like,
I think
a retractable roof is like a lie.
Only before snow. That's
right. Most of them in dumb places. Who told them to put a retractable roof in Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, that is.
I don't know. Yeah. That's just so silly to me.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Like, the Cowboys, I think, their stadium is retractable.
No, they open it up sometimes.
Yeah, the last time they opened it up, like, a piece fell off of it. That's how long it's been.
They have issues in that stadium, though. The sun's in the wrong spot.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
And then I want to talk about a subject that you guys might be a little touchy on.
No windows in the stadium.
I quoted as NFL simps. There are people that wish that they had a quarterback that doesn't really equate to anything, i.e. the Josh Allens of the world, the Lamar Jacksons of the world. They're great quarterbacks, don't get me wrong, but when I say NFL simp, I mean it's just like a guy, you got a bunch of money, you get the hot chick, she never touches you, she never rubs your back when you're tired, she's a 10, but she doesn't do anything for you. She's pretty to show off, but what does she really do? Whereas though you have your Jalen Hurts, who might be a solid 7, but she cooks dinner, she rubs your back when your arms hurt, your back hurt. She does anything you ask her to do. She's just not as cute as everybody else.
She's wifey.
She got the body, but she ain't as cute.
Yeah, the ironic part about that analogy is
can she squat 600 pounds?
Well, no, that Jalen actually looks better than both.
I knew that's where you were going to go with that. I mean,
well, he's the one who actually does look better.
He's the one getting asked at media night how he's so good looking.
Oh, it was so awkward. Yeah. It was so awkward. Like, how are you so good looking?
I mean,
it was the best clip of the night, though.
Sorry,
Al.
I hung up on Al. I'm
just
sorry.
Saying, that's the ironic part of what he said. Like, right. Jalen is actually the 10.
Yeah, they cut that audio.
cut that. Elliot, anything new on any of the injured players today?
Well, I spoke to Cam Jurgens last night, and he said he's playing. So
okay.
he's good
go.
Did you think it was weird Dickerson was, like, sitting it out?
Yeah, so
not sitting it out. Yeah, so he was there last night.
So I didn't see him sit, but I've been told by people that he was sitting.
I saw him.
I think is weird.
Yeah, so if you weren't there, there were about 10 people that were sitting, and they were the people that were featured. Saquon, Jalen.
Yeah.
And then everyone else was just sort of standing and walking around, whereas Landon was sitting.
Yeah, some of the assistant coaches were. But
I've never
been at a media day that I can think of where a player sat down. So I don't think it means Landon's not playing, but it could mean they were like, you know, instead of standing on your legs for an hour, why not?
Well, he's going to play. I worry about his effectiveness.
I think if he plays, he'll play well. I'm more worried, can he finish the game?
Yeah. Because what was his injury?
It's just a knee, right?
Yeah.
A knee?
Well, but.
Yeah, I don't think they've.
This year, I feel like we've gotten less specifics on what. We never knew what Jalen's knee was.
Right.
They never even said what Jalen's finger was.
Well, if you remember, Nick.
Cam Jurgens' back, they never said. They just said back.
Right.
They're like hockey now.
Well, Nick had the slip up. Remember when he said Jalen had the ankle?
I wonder
how much of that is.
Yeah.
They're just like, we're not going to mess around.
I would not be surprised if after the year it feels like one of those Landon has like knee surgery.
He's playing through an MCL. He was injured.
Yeah. I know, but like, I wonder if he's playing through like a tear or something.
No, he's not. I don't know if he's playing through a tear. That would be hard to do, but.
He's a tough guy. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know physically if you could do it. But this is the last game of the season.
Yeah,
that's right.
So you go as long as you can go.
And Kenny Gainwell.
Pause.
Yeah. Kenny Gainwell still
another one. Clip
still
that.
In concussion protocol.
Okay. And
he was there, though.
Spike can't sleep at night.
Honestly, the only reason I added it is because he's a good player.
He's important. He is in their two-minute offense a lot, and they trust him.
He was their best running back the last Super Bowl they played.
Well, that's a good point.
That's because Miles benched him. They got benched.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
So we got all the injuries. I'm trying to think if there's any other injury thing that I was thinking about. And Saquon, I assume we're fine. He had the cap thing in the last game.
And Brandon seems like I think going up at the podium is a pretty clear indication he's
that he's going to play.
Yeah. They wouldn't have put him up there if they thought he wasn't going
to. That was the one thing. When I saw Brandon sitting at the podium, I was like, oh, he's definitely playing.
Yeah, he's going to be out there.
215-592-9494. Our friend O.G. Wade is with us. You're on WIP. O.G.?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
What's up, brother?
OG.
It was good to talk to you earlier this morning, OG. Thanks for the early morning phone call.
He called.
He called you directly?
Yeah, because Elias got some duties to take care of, and he's been avoiding them, but we've got to get, you know.
Elliot does?
Okay. Yeah. He's supposed to be on the show Friday, I was telling you.
I don't know if supposed to is the right word. but yes.
Elliot, don't get fresh, Elliot.
All right.
Don't get fresh.
Listen.
Let me tell y'all something right now. These talks about Jalen, I'm loving them, okay? But one thing, the problem that I have with you guys is that you're at the biggest game in all the world, and you're still talking about what Jalen can't do, won't do, ain't
no, we're not. We didn't talk about that at all. No. I love you, but no. Hold on. I'm just gonna put you on hold. I love you to death, but you can't call up and say we didn't say any of that. I said, I think there is more in there with Jalen, and for an offensive coordinator to bring that out of him could be positive. When we're talking about the offensive coordinator, his relationship with the quarterback and what he gets out of their passing game
matters
a lot. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that. It's not dissing Jalen. It's none of those things. You're just going to have to be prepared.
Come on, OG.
For people talking about the evolution.
You can't be sensitive now, OG.
You just be an adult about it.
Yeah, you can't be sensitive. You can't have a podcast where you talk about Jalen all the time.
I'm letting Spike talk. I ain't saying
I'm just saying, though, OG, he's the quarterback of the team. It's important who's the coordinator.
And he's an okay player.
Stop.
If y'all would let me land my plane sometime, y'all might learn something from the OG.
Land it.
Here's my point. Let me land my plane, okay? My point is this here is sometimes Spike and Ike and Jack, I ain't got to say Elliot because he's my student, okay? Sometimes the quarterback have to go through a progression. So whenever he gets sacked, it's not always Jalen's fault he got sacked. Okay?
Oh,
it's a sack that he may be taking. Hold on. Because it goes both ways.
Exactly. So what's the point of bringing it up? Because sometimes they are his fault.
The point, right. But the point is we try to take something and we make more out of it than what it is. What I'm trying to say is that
being highest in sack rate against the blitz in the NFL is worth talking about. Being 29th in sack rate overall when you have the best offensive line in football is worth talking
about. Good stats. I didn't know that.
I am not, and by the way, I think 25th in pressure against pressure. All these things happen. We can get better at that, right? And some of that is Jalen. You're just going to have to acknowledge that. I'm just saying when we bring in a coordinator, that coordinator could help him get better at those things. That's all.
Yeah, let me help you out a little bit.
Yep.
Because the question was, early on, the question was, who helps Jalen with that? You know where Jalen gets the help at? Every Monday morning he sits with Jeff Stoutland. And him and Jeff Stoutland goes over protections. Jeff Stoutland is the one that helps Jalen with the blitzes. Okay, it's not the offensive coordinator. Okay, it's the offensive line coach who actually knows the protections. You see what I'm saying?
It's not just about the protections. It's not just about the protections, though, OG. It's not. Because he's getting sacked when he holds the ball for 7 seconds. That's not about the protection. That's about
– Sometimes – he don't want to throw the ball because if it's a read option and the offensive lineman is already downfield, so you would rather just take that sack than take the damn penalty for uneligible.
No, you wouldn't. I would rather have the down back and the loss of yards than just the loss of yards.
So I think the reason he's holding onto the ball more this year is a fear of turning it over.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that. By the way,
and there's positives and negatives to that. And the clear negatives is he gets sacked, which are negative plays.
Yep.
But the positive is he has cut down his turnovers tremendously.
Yeah, absolutely. We are lucky enough.
Come on, OG.
Well, I just
Come
don't
on,
want
buck
him to
up,
say.
Man. Buck
well,
up.
We didn't say anything bad about
him. No, that's what
today.
I'm saying. Like, I'm like, dog, you got to be able to have conversations without it turning into all that.
Yeah, being called a hater.
Stop it. You're better than that, OG. Come on.
Yeah. All right. We are lucky enough to be joined by your former teammate next, Brian Westbrook. You're hanging with us, right, Elliot?
Yeah.
Okay. Boy.
So Brian Westbrook will join us next. Very exciting. Elliot Shore Parks continues to hang with us. Your calls as well. 215-592-9494 from New Orleans for Super Bowl 59. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.